everybody. It's that time again. Welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. This is Lane, recording solo. As I mentioned last week, Jordan taking a little break due to no Big Ten football going on right now. Sounds like they're meeting on that today. The latest thing I read was that Nebraska said there's still no ETA on when the Big Ten will be playing football. A lot of issues determining health of the players and all that good stuff, which I'm not going to get into that right now. Hopefully this will all be getting fixed soon, and we'll be on to some Big Ten football. I know I'm looking forward to it. Seeing some of these college games gives me a little bit of an itch. But before I really start scratching that itch, I'm going to lay out the show today. But even before I do that, wanted to thank all of you for tuning in, listening to me again. Had a good turnout last week. I guess you could call it a turnout or a listener group. Logging in, listen to us on Anchor, Apple, Stitcher, whatever your streaming service is. Thank you for listening to us. If you haven't already, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Spartans Wolverines Beards Podcast, and or Facebook at Spartan Wolverines Beard Podcast. Facebook group's a little more active. I try to post news stories. Try to keep everything a little bit interesting and lighthearted with everything going on right now. So without further ado, I am going to go into this week's episode a little bit, kind of give you a preview. We're going to talk a little Big 12 football, some surprising upsets this weekend, especially out of one team that was kind of predicted to do pretty well this year. I'm going to talk a little NBA bubble. We're going to do a returning segment, Good, Bad, and the Ugly, where instead of breaking down Michigan State's football, obviously we cannot do that right now, I will be breaking down the Lions. Week one, I don't even know what to call it, loss to the Chicago Bears. Then I'm going to close this puppy up, and we'll go from there. So, looking at this past weekend in college football, two of the biggest news was that, I guess news stories would have been that K-State and Iowa State were both upset by a lot smaller schools. K-State was kind of close, lost 35-31 Arkansas State. But the big one for me was Louisiana Lafayette going into Iowa State and beating them 31-14. I don't know if it's because maybe some of these states weren't open as long, maybe the practices weren't happening, I don't know. But it's definitely a shock, and I mean, it does already get you into the mood for college football, already some big upsets happening. K-State really needs to right the ship right now, because they play against Oklahoma on Saturday, and Spencer Rattler is been named the starter of Oklahoma for Lincoln Riley, which we'll see how that works. If you watch not Last Chance U, but QB1 on Netflix, you did get to see a little bit of Spencer Rattler. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. Iowa State next weekend, or this coming weekend actually, was on the road to TCU, so they're going to have to right the ship pretty quickly as well. Iowa State, a lot of people liked Iowa State this year. Had a Heisman dark horse in their quarterback. So I don't know. It was an interesting weekend for the Big 12. Is it indicative of what the Big 12 is going to look like? Is it just going to be like a Texas-Oklahoma show again? Can TCU maybe show up? It'll be interesting. Unfortunately, I don't pay too much attention to the Big 12 because, well, it's a Big 12. Getting into the NBA bubble, we have an Eastern Conference finalists already, I guess you could say, chosen between the Miami Heat upsetting the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis had some health issues. Now the talk is as well, what's going to happen with Giannis? Is he going to get traded? What kind of trades can happen? What can the Bucks do to keep him? And if I'm Milwaukee, I'm looking at trading away Eric Bledsoe, because I think keeping Bledsoe over Malcolm Brogdon was a huge mistake for that franchise. Brogdon can play defense. He's a scorer. Bledsoe, he's not bad, I mean, by any means, but I thought Malcolm Brogdon was a little more athletic. Maybe it's come down to a cash issue, but I don't know. So I think the first thing Milwaukee, if they want to keep him, is they need to get him some help, and they need him some help ASAP. I think a good shooting guard to possibly partner him with Chris Middleton would be fantastic for that team. But, of course, the trade rumors is Giannis going to get traded to Golden State, because that now seems to be the mecca of all things. Maybe to the Knicks. I've seen some, jokingly, some trades to the Pistons, which would be incredible, but I highly doubt Giannis is going to go to from one small market team to another. If I had to guess, I'm going to say Miami is where he would end up. If he got traded, I think Miami has a lot of pieces that they could move. And also, I think you look at state income tax. Miami doesn't have a state income tax. I think that could be a good opportunity for him to resign and really maximize his brand, especially in South Beach. But that'll be remain to be seen. So before I really get in too far into that or go down that rabbit hole, the Heat are playing the Celtics. Celtics went to Game 7 against the Raptors, which, little trivia, this is the first time neither the 1 nor 2 seed are in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I don't know how many years. So that's kind of cool, a little fresh. I still like the Celtics. I think that youth movement that Brad Stevens has got going in Boston is deadly. They're going to be lining up against the Lakers, and we don't know who yet. Because the Clippers and Nuggets are going to a Game 7 as I record this tonight. Nuggets have battled back, I think, every series they've been in. They've been down 3-1, and they've battled back. I would like to see the Nuggets make it, because I think it's another youth movement team. I think Joker is incredible. But my gut tells me the Clippers, which it sucks because everything with COVID, and then we have everything with Kobe. I feel like something like a Lakers-Clippers Finals is something the city of L.A. could use, as strange as that sounds. I think that excitement is definitely going to be missed, because I think that atmosphere would be incredible between the Lakers and Clippers. But if I were to take it, like I said, I'm still taking the Celtics against the Lakers. I think that'll be a fun series, but I'm still going to take the Lakers in 6 because LeBron's still playing out of his mind. I think he's dang near averaging a triple-double, if not a triple-double, through the playoffs, which is incredible for someone his age, which is funny because he's not much older than me, but that remains to be seen. I'm just podcasting in the basement, and he's a billionaire. So we'll go from there. So with that, I think I'm going to go ahead and roll into the good, the bad, and the ugly. So stay tuned. You heard the music. That means it's back. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So like I said in the beginning of the podcast, I am not going to be breaking down Michigan State football because obviously there is none right now. So I'm going to use this time and allocate that towards breaking down the good, the bad, and the ugly from the Detroit Lions weekly games. So week 1, open up at home against the Chicago Bears. Started off a little sloppy, a little slow, which I mean is absolutely going to be the case when you have no preseason, not a lot of training camp together. Some of you guys have never played together before. So we started off slow. We scored right before halftime, scored again right after halftime, and it was 23-6, and you thought, man, this puppy is done with. We're ready to rock and roll. We just need the dagger. It's dagger time. And you get into the fourth quarter, and Bears go down, they score. Prater misses a kick. And then you just think to yourself, oh my God, it's happening again. And it did happen again. So another fourth quarter meltdown by the Matt Patricia-led Detroit Lions. I just did a little research today and found out that it's his 11th loss in the fourth quarter. So I believe right now he's 9-23-1, 24-1 as a head football coach. So if you take that 11, say you take half of those and you attach it, you're almost a 500 football club. So I mean it. And you immediately went on Twitter and you see just the massive meltdown from Lions fans. And I get it. I totally get it. I'm there as well. There's just the past 3 years, there just has not been a killer instinct with this Lions team. And I would even say that in the Jim Caldwell era, I don't think this team had the killer instinct. I don't know if it's the players. I don't know if it's the coaches. I don't know what it is. This was very much a must-win game, I feel like, for the Lions, because now they are on the road to Lambeau this weekend. Aaron Rodgers absolutely carved up the Vikings this weekend. Vikings secondary is very young and experienced. It's another team you could tell did not play a preseason game because that defense was far from polished. And we're going into Lambeau to face him and Davante Adams, who absolutely dominated. And of course, they played Davante in fantasy football this weekend. So there's that. But I won't get too far into that one. So I guess the question is, and I've been seeing a lot of it on Twitter, is if the Lions go 0-4 by the bye week, which is week 5, do we fire Matt Patricia? And I've never, and as you know, last season I wasn't on the fire Matt Patricia bandwagon. I'm starting to think about buying tickets to that bandwagon. It's another season, it's another issue. Now, I totally understand that the team's, half the defense has never played a single down of football together as a unit. We went into this game without Big V. Kenny Galladay was out, which he was noticeably absent in the red zone for us this past week. And then we get into the game, we lose Jamie Collins to the strangest, dumbest reason I think I've ever seen happen in a professional sporting event. He lowers his head to show the referee what happened with the ball carrier, and the referee bumps into him, and they eject him. Well, the good news is that he's not getting fined and he's not getting suspended, but in this down the stretch, when you looked at the game and you see Jimmy Graham at the very end getting covered by our safeties, like, it was bad. I mean, Jimmy Graham ate our lunch, and it was another patented boneheaded mistake by the Lions in crunch time. And I don't know if this is an indictment on the coaching staff. I don't know if it's an indictment on Matt Patricia. I don't know what it is. But I think Jamie Collins really realized that he's no longer in New England and that he's in Detroit and he's not going to get those calls anymore. And another noticeable thing was just losing Trufant and Justin Coleman. Now, Justin Coleman had an incredible game before he got hurt. And now he's been put on the IR, so he's out at least 3 weeks. So that puts us into the bye week, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, you go into the stretch of the season that the NFL so graciously gives us every year where we have to grind it out, and you're going to need him. Now, again, is the question, is Matt Patricia going to be there to lead us? I don't know. I definitely question Bevel as well in this game. I feel like Daryl Bevel had a few questionable calls at key downs, Having Matt Stafford be a rollout play action passer like a Russell Wilson, which he's never been in his 11-year career, it doesn't make sense to me. Send in some of our rookies, and Quintez Cephas looked great, but you could tell he's a rookie. He's going to get polished, but having him do some of the routes he was doing and stuff, it just, to me, it didn't make sense, but of course, I am an armchair quarterback. So before I dive too deep, I'm just going to start off with some good stuff for the Lions. I thought the first really good thing that the Lions did this weekend was, number one, was signing Adrian Peterson, and then number two was Adrian Peterson. He looked like he's got a lot of gas left in the tank, man. When he's got a fullback in front of him, good luck, because he hits the holes and he's moving. 14 rushes, 93 yards. He averaged 6.64 yards a carry, which, when's the last time a Lions rusher really did that? His cuts were good. He was receiving. Like, he looked good. And I think going down the stretch, I think that's the leadership we need in that backfield. With Adrian Peterson and DeAndre Swift and Kerryon Johnson, which it's crazy. At the beginning of the season, we all thought Kerryon was the one. And you look at it now, and he's kind of looking like the three. DeAndre had a good game. Unfortunately, he had that huge drop in the end zone, which, you know, he felt horrible. But it was great having a leader like Adrian Peterson put his arm around him and say, hey, it's okay. You're going to get up from this, and you're going to keep going. I think that's what the Lions need, are more leaders like that. Shame on Lions fan Twitter for absolutely ripping him. I would like to see a lot of the fans get out there and do what he did. I mean, it's ridiculous that we're burning down a rookie already, and he's had one game with us, and we wonder why free agents don't want to come here. But before I really dive into that too much, the second real positive thing I also saw was the offensive line, which was the first time I could say that about Lions team in a very long time. They only gave up one sack, and I mean, that's saying a lot to a Khalil Mack-led defense. Khalil Mack eats everybody's lunch, and for us to only give up one sack is remarkable. They paved the way for 4.8 yards per rushing attempt, which, that's awesome. So we're almost a first down every two carries, which that's incredible. I think the keys are there to this Lions team being good. Now, whether or not the preseason not playing that hurts them, that remain, I think it does, but I think that's going to remain to be seen. I'm still optimistic about this team, man, but they've got a long ways to go. The bad, like I said earlier, the wide receiver play looked a little rough. You could definitely tell Galladay was gone, especially in the red zone. The routes weren't there. Stafford having to tuck and run a lot, which, as somebody who had a back injury last year, some of the hits he took makes you definitely nervous. And then also the other bad thing I have is there's no preseason for them, so they looked rusty. The first quarter looked really bad for both teams. And then finally in the second and the third quarter, you could see the Lions offense finally clicking. But then the fourth quarter hits, and man, they just always let their foot off the gas. Like, I understand being conservative, but man, like, you shouldn't be giving up 17-point leads in the fourth quarter. That's insane. And then to come down and lose by four? Like, holy crap, guys. The ugly I have for team last week was, of course, the injuries. Losing Justin Coleman to the IR, losing Desmond Trufant, Galladay being gone, Big V being gone. At the end of the day, and I started to question it last season, is what is Matt Patricia doing differently than the rest of the NFL? Because it seems every year the Lions are always hurt, and it's always the what if. What if, what if, what if, what if. And man, I would love to see a fully healthy Lions team come out on the field and finally see what the potential that's there. I mean, on paper, they're a good team. They've got good players. They've got speed where they need it. They've got strength when they need it. Trey Flowers was looked really good from coming off injury last year. Of course, he gets a little bit banged up in the game, so that never helps. But at the end of the day, like, you have to wonder, what is Matt Patricia doing differently? Now, I've read that Matt Patricia does a lot of full contact practices, which makes you wonder if that's it. But at this point, with no preseason, you would imagine you'd have to. You would have to have some kind of full contact to get NFL players up to game speed. But I don't know. Again, I'm an armchair quarterback. I'm just sitting in my basement making a podcast. But there's quite a few things to me that seem to be a foul. And then last for the ugly, again, was just the coaching. I don't understand how you can be up by that much and you blow another lead. Like, is this the indictment on the Matt Patricia era and for the Lions? Is it just that we can't close anything out to save our lives? It's tiring being a Lions fan, and it's tiring to see the same stuff different day. Now, I'm already seeing people saying, tank for Trevor, tank for Trevor. Well, it's week one. Like, let's take a step back. We all overreact after week one. Let's get ready for Green Bay. We're going to Lambeau. We know Adams is going to be a killer. Right now it's looking like Okuda is probably going to be our number one and on Adams. So what a better way for some baptism by fire than throwing Okuda and seeing how he's going to contend against the big dogs, because you know Aaron Rodgers is going to come at you. It's going to be okay, Lions fans. It's going to be okay. Yes, we're 0-1. Yes, we blew another fourth quarter lead. I am still confident in this team. I hope that you guys are too. But if you're not, I get it. And we'll go from there. But hopefully we don't get to 0-4 week 4 or week 5 into the bye week. 0-4, and we're looking at a new coach, because this would be the fourth head coach for Matt Stafford in his entire career. And at some point you have to say, isn't that part of the problem? That we don't keep anybody around anymore? Now, I understand Jim Caldwell had a winning record with us and we still let him go. But also Jim Caldwell didn't fight for his players either. But he also was a winning coach. So, I mean, you have to make a decision. What's the trade-off here? Of course, I want wins more than anything in the world, but I also want to build a core and work with it. But we'll see. Like I said, rolling into Lambeau this weekend, playing against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, another in-division rival. I think this is absolutely a must-win, because you'll be down in an 0-2 hole in the NFC North, and if you want to make a playoff push, you're already way behind the eight ball. So we'll see what happens there. But in summary, Lions fans, let's keep our chins up, put our nose to the grindstone, and let's see what our Lions can do. And with that, I am going to take a quick break, and then we are going to close this puppy down. All right, and as promised, I'm going to be ending this. But before I do, make sure you like us and follow us on Spartan Wolverines and Beards Podcast on Facebook. And also follow us as well on Twitter. If you can, give us 5 stars on whatever streaming app you're listening to us on. That's always greatly appreciated. Kind of raises our algorithms a little bit, gets us out there a little further. But before I close it up for the week, I just wanted to let you guys know I'm going to be trying something a little bit different, maybe a little bit fun. When I post the episode on Facebook and Twitter, I'm going to post a link. And on that link, you can record a question for me about anything sports related or anything Lions or football, or basketball, or baseball related, and I will I'll listen to them. I'll figure out how to get them on the podcast for next week, and I'll reply to them. So While you got this next week, make sure you think of a good question, click on that link, record it, and send it to me. But with all that being said, thank you guys again for taking the time to listen to me ramble a little bit. Still getting used to recording solo, so hopefully I'm getting a little bit better every week. But stay healthy out there, go green, and go Lions!
Time right behind my back.